We are preparing. Preparing for entrance to the heavenly Canaan. And today, we are looking at a preparation that many people don't seem to take into account. And it's written here in Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, a people who are going to be standing just prior to the coming of Jesus, identified here in Revelation 14 and verses 12 to 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Verse 14 is the coming of Jesus. And just prior to that, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. To stand there and be such a people, does patience have something to do with preparation to be among them, those people? Do I have to prepare myself in the area of patience? Who only is eligible to enter into the promised land? Who only? You come to with me to Revelation 22. Here we see only those who are eligible to enter the heavenly Canaan, that heavenly city, Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. To have the right to enter there, we need to be among that people of verse 12 of chapter 14. We need to be a people that keep his commandments, that do his commandments, so that we may have a right to enter there. And in chapter 21 of Revelation, any person who enters there must be undefiling. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Much to meditate in that scripture. The only ones that are eligible to enter there are those who will not defile that place. Therefore, as was the story of the children of Israel, they were to sanctify themselves as they were at the border to cross. And to sanctify ourselves, we need to have patience so that we can be sanctified and without sin. Come over to James, and we read it there, chapter 1. James 1, verses 2 to 4. Because to be able to have a pure, undefiled, and undefiling life, patience is required here. It says it. When it says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What are we just reading here? Are we reading a perfection message? To be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. To gain that, so that we may have right to enter into the heavenly Canaan, requires patience having her perfect work. And to develop patience has to do with the trying of your faith, which worketh patience. To be perfect, entire. I like that word, entire. That's a very broad-ranging word, isn't it? Entire. There is nothing that it hasn't achieved. Entire. Wanting nothing is a goal that you and I must pursue to be able to enter there. And Jesus puts it very neatly in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. To be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Indeed, to be perfect means to be ready to have a right to enter the heavenly Canaan. I read it here from God's Amazing Grace, the book God's Amazing Grace, page 230, reading there in paragraph 2. When God gave His Son to the world, He made it possible for men and women to be perfect by the use of every capability of their beings to the glory of God. In Christ, He gave to them the riches of His grace and a knowledge of His will, as they would empty themselves of self and learn to walk in humility, leaning on God for guidance, men would be enabled to fulfill God's high purpose for them. That's what we studied in the Sabbath school lesson this morning. He gave his Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, because through Jesus it is made possible for men and women to be perfect. So, active, patient application is necessary. Patient absorption of the things that we just read there that God is prepared to give us through Jesus Christ. Patient application. Let's read it there in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. God will render to us, according to our deeds, as we know, only those who do the works. Romans 2, verses 6 and 7. Very important statement here. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. God will give eternal life to whom? To those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek to enter that glory. Patient continuance. Very salient words. Patient continuance. We can all start well, can't we? We get a wonderful thrill of God's wonderful love and we go, oh yes, and we go for it. And then we start petering out. I see this amongst us. But we are called to patient continuance in pursuing that which we have launched out to pursue. And it requires such a patience as it is described here in Testimony Volume 8. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 8, page 312 through to 313. Testimony 8, 312, there in the last paragraph, paragraph 5, it says, wrongs cannot be righted, nor can reformation in character be made by a few feeble, intermittent efforts. What did we read in Romans? Patient continuance. Reformations of character cannot be made by a few intermittent efforts. Sanctification is the work, not of a day or of a year, but of a lifetime, continuance, patient continuance. The struggle for conquest over self, for holiness and heaven, is a lifelong struggle. Without continual effort and constant activity, there can be no advancement in the divine life, no attainment of the victor's crown. And then it goes on. The strongest evidence of man's fall from a higher state is the fact that it costs so much to return. It cost Jesus everything, didn't it? And for me, it doesn't cost me anything. goes on to say, the way of return can be gained only by hard fighting, inch by inch, every hour. Continual patience. By a momentary act of will, one may place himself in a power of evil, but it requires more than a momentary act of will to break these fetters and attain to a higher, holier life. The purpose may be formed, the work begun, but its accomplishment will require toil, time, and perseverance, patience, and sacrifice. How patient are you? Do we easily become weary and I can't anymore? Is my patience running thin? Then I need the hour of divine service today to understand this activity so that I will not become weary, impatient. Impatient with myself or impatient with others. It is the ministry of the servants of God that is expressed here in Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 that the ministers appeal for us to pursue this. Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. Notice the apostle saying, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We desire that every one of you show diligence, because your diligence of application to the hope that we are looking for to enter into the promised land, that will continue through to the end, that we are not slothful, but we are followers of them. So there are people that are doing this. Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Here are they. Here is the patience of the saints. A people standing. And it is your choice whether you will prepare your patience to stand there. This is the appeal of the ministry. And that was what our scripture reading was expressing in chapter 10 of Hebrews. Verse 36 and 37. What do we have a need of? What do we have need of? It says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you've done the will of God by turning to Him. After you've done that, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. The promise is that we're going to cross the border when Jesus comes. We have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we continue to do it. So we have right to enter there. If you turn over to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25, there we see it beautifully, this hope that drives me on patiently, don't give up hope. Prepare by developing patience. Verse 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I hope to be perfect. I hope to be pure and sanctified. I hope to be able to enter the promised land. Well, I can't see it yet. I can't see that I'm perfect yet. But I will patiently persevere. I will patiently reach out and persevere, as we were reading there in Testimony Volume 8, that we will actively engage in inch-by-inch warfare to overcome the things that want to overcome us. So this morning, let us explore how patience is an engaging activity to prepare me to enter, and how I must prepare myself by engaging a preparation of patience, that I actually need to develop that. And here is where Jesus, of course, is the answer to us. And in his words in Revelation chapter 3, he launches our thoughts. Notice what he actually says in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. He speaks this to the people of Philadelphia. The people of Philadelphia. The church that enters, where he says, I have set a door open before you, the opening of the sanctuary service in the heavenly sanctuary into the most holy place. I have set before you an open door. Jesus says, you people, you need to keep something, and I've got a favorable thing to say here to them. Revelation 3, 10 and 11. It says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Here is the trigger. Here is what should trigger your mind. Oh, I must have patience. And he writes to them, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. You have kept the word of my patience. What is, in essence, the word of his patience? What is it? When Jesus presents his word, when he started preaching, it was the word of his patience. Matthew 4, 23. Matthew 4, verse 23. And here Jesus commenced the word of his patience. Notice what it says. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. What was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel of his kingdom. The kingdom of grace. The kingdom of his saving activities. This is what we are to keep. The word of his patience. Here lies the answer. If you go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, you actually see the connection between the gospel and patience. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, remember tribulation worketh trials, worketh patience, you're in companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom, the patience of Jesus Christ. That's what John is a companion in with us. The kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. And he was called to the Patmos for the word of God, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the gospel equals the word of his patience. Without the gospel, without the word of his patience, his coming will prove to be a terrible catastrophe. Let's read it there in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. The dreadful reality, if you haven't got the patience, the word of his patience operating, the gospel operating within us, the coming of Jesus will be nothing to look forward to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And they're reading verses 7 to 10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And that obey not the gospel. Did you notice that the gospel needs to be obeyed? It's the word of his patience. That obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. To believe the gospel, the word of his patience, is what is going to make the coming of Jesus pleasant, or not pleasant as such. It's a trial, but it will not be a destruction. Whereas to the others, it will be a destruction, an everlasting destruction. But he's going to come to be glorified in his saints, in those that believe. So it is imperative that we understand the subject of the hour. Preparation for that time. By preparation in patience, the gospel that we must obey. So the word of his patience, namely the gospel of Christ, is an activity of preparation. The word of the gospel, the word of his patience, is an activity that we must obey as a preparation. And notice the way it is put so neatly in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, reading verses 14 and 15. it's so beautifully placed as a symbol here. Ephesians 6. Remember, we are to be soldiers with armor on. And here is one of the items of the armor. Ephesians 6, 14 and 15. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Did you see preparation? The preparation of the gospel? To be prepared for the coming of Jesus, we must shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must run with our feet. We must run in the warfare. And if the word of his patience is the gospel, has patience to do with running, getting your feet shod with the word of his patience, we'll follow it through very carefully. It is said the word of his patience. The patience of Jesus Christ. Let us go directly to his experience to discover his patience and the gospel of his patience. Directly there in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. Here is the word of his patience. Here is the gospel in action. Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9. An all-comprehensive picture of both the death of the cross and of his life on earth, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Isn't that vividly clear? This is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the word of his patience, because he had to learn obedience and be made perfect. And Jesus says, obey the gospel, the word of my patience. Obey the process that I went through. I became the author of this process. Heed the word of my patience. I cried to the Lord, and he saved me. I depended on him. I persevered through day in and day out. I did not stop. I was patient until my Lord redeemed me. He saved me. You know, this is an anomaly to the ministers that I have been ministering with. When I highlighted this point, that Jesus would cry unto him who could save him. Jesus didn't need a savior, they said. He was our savior. I said, but it's written. He cried unto him who could save him. So, He placed himself in a position where he depended upon someone who could save him. Aren't you in that position? Jesus says that you keep the word of my patience. You need to exercise what I exercised. Patient continuance in well-doing. And relying on my Father in heaven every step of the way and persevering, putting my whole self into it. Learning obedience by the things which I suffered and being made perfect. So you, my brothers and sisters, says Jesus, I sanctified myself so that both he that sanctifieth and those who are sanctified are all one. And that requires patience. Let's read it beautifully expressed in Hebrews 12. The authorship of your and my salvation, Hebrews 12, 1 to 7. Yes, we are being watched, and we want to give God the glory. Hebrews 12, 1 to 7. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And here it is. Remember the feet shod? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm running. I need my feet shod. I need patience as I'm running. Doing what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What did we read in Hebrews 5? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We are to look to Jesus and learn obedience by the things we suffer with him. Who for the joy that was set before him did what? Practiced patience, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Do you ever feel that you have to endure your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife? Too much to endure. I can't tolerate this. He endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest you become impatient and give up. That's another word, isn't it? Much the same. We need to be patient with ourselves and with one another. Do you practice that? If you don't, you're not ready for Jesus to come. Here is the patience of the saints. We are to prepare ourselves to be patient as Jesus was. Endure patiently. And here in verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You see, it doesn't matter what the other person does, it matters what you do. And if you're acting in a sinful way, you can't blame the other one as Eve blamed and Adam blamed Eve. Because we are all accountable to God first off. And our responsibility is to be patient as Jesus was. The word of his patience, beautifully explained here. We go on reading verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Was Jesus chastened? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. If you keep the word of my patience, said Jesus, I will take care of you. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Feet shod with patience, the word of his patience. You and I today are living in the most dreadful time of earth's history. Iniquity abounds around us. And what does Jesus say? Because iniquity abounds, the love of many is growing cold. It abounds. And it's just not fair. The mentality is, oh, I can't anymore. Because iniquity abounds. Perilous times are with us. Let's read them in 2 Timothy 3. And what is involved in these perilous times? You know, we read it so glibly, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. Yeah, disobedient to parents. Yeah, yeah, having a form of godliness. But what is involved if you are going to follow the word of Christ's patience? Here is the peril for us. It's extremely stressful if we don't rest in the Lord as Jesus did, learning this development of patience. 2 Timothy 3, there's a beautiful text that says, possess your soul in patience. 2 Timothy 3, here is the stress. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. What is the peril? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. If everybody loves their own selves, where does that leave you? Unloved. Isn't that exactly what we hear people cry? Nobody loves me. Lovers of their own selves, but it's worse than that. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Parents, do you know what that feels like? Those little brats. They drive you up the wall. And you correct them and they just go, bleh. That's the condition we're living in. No respect. And what do you do when that happens? Do you lose your temper? And not only that, they're unthankful. They're unholy. There's not a spark of beauty, of godliness there. They are without natural affection. Even their natural affection is just not there anymore. Don't you see it in the society around you today? The children don't even have natural affection to their parents. They go along and wipe them off if they could. They get so wild with them. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. They can't control themselves. And you live with somebody who can't control themselves? Well, how do you handle them? Fierce. Not only incontinent, but fierce. Despisers of those that are good. As it says in Isaiah, you become a prey if you do what's good. You become a prey. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's no love of God in the world anymore. Having a form of godliness. Oh, that makes it even worse. Here they go to church. And here they go claiming that God is their Savior, Jesus is their Savior. And look at the situation. violation of God's beautiful laws all around you and still goo-gaying about Jesus? It's just difficult to put your head around that. They deny the power thereof. And what are we called upon to do with that? From such, turn away. Does that mean we are to turn away from each other because we make mistakes? No. God's people make mistakes, but they are not this kind of description. They are not deliberately doing anything like that. These other people are deliberators. They are doing this sort of thing. And if you step in their way, they'll push you right over the cliff to get you out of the way. You've got to act very wisely. As it says in Isaiah there, the prudent in that day will be silent. You won't open your mouth to rile them at all because they are uncontrollable. Are you uncontrollable? Can we be continent or incontinent? These are the things that all play in the gospel truth, that as we meet all this dreadful drama of the ages right now, we are called upon to develop a patience that loves people but leaves them alone. We need to keep the word of His patience. Jesus was confronted by everything that you and I are confronted by today, to the nth degree. Let's read it there. When we are in these terrible times, when people are the way they are, according to what we've just been reading, 1 Peter chapter 2, we have to put up with this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19 to 24. And this is thankworthy, if a man, for conscience toward God, endure, be patient with grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. There's the word patiently, you see. But if when you do well and suffer for that, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This is the word of His patience. Now notice how this connects with Jesus. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps. When He was surrounded by that, He was suffering wrongfully. What happened? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Here is the word of His patience. Something to ponder upon as we are addressing it here in this hour of divine service. The Lord Jesus is appealing to us, understand what the word of my patience is and be prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that you can survive and come through victorious. without sin, righteous, no matter what you are bombarded with in today's circumstances. It's all hard going today. And I tell you, brethren and sisters, don't expect it to get any better. But you have need of patience to persevere through all that. You know, when I see people petering out here and there, and it gets, it's just like Gideon's army. They started out with energy, and then it petered out, and only a few people were left, 300 men. And how can Gideon fight a warfare with just so few people? We are left in the same dilemma today. A tiny little remnant, what can be done? And this is exactly what the ministers of the Adventist Church have said to me. You few little people, what can you do? Yeah, that's right. That's what they say. You want to evangelize the world? How can you ever do that? This is how they speak. The word of his patience. It's hard, but we are enlisted in the army. And as we studied last Sabbath, we will be found at our post of duty. We will be there at the meetings. We will be there in the responsibilities that are mine. I will continue to persevere, though the heavens fall. This is the word of his patience. Let not our love grow cold under the extremities of trials of these perilous times, to endure unto the end. To endure in love to the end. What is love that doesn't grow cold? 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read it there, verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. Talking of love there, and I've just concentrated on verse 7 mainly and the top of verse 8. Love beareth how much? All things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Love never faileth. So in the time when iniquity abounds, the love of many is growing cold. What are they doing? They can't endure anymore. Their love is growing cold. But the love of God, if it is embraced with all the valor of the beauty of Jesus in his application of himself to me and mine to him, there will be a love there that will see through the most murky, hopeless conditions and will continue to hang on to the help that comes from God, as Jesus did. It never failed. It endured all things. And there we turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through to 5. And here you see precisely that this trial in these last days is a preparation to develop patience. And so that when Jesus comes, patience will have her perfect work. There it is, in verse 3 through to 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh God, give us grace to embrace this and to let the tribulations flow as strongly as they will. We will glory in tribulation because the tribulation is helping me to prepare. It's helping me to have patience, which is going to have its perfect work, experience, hope, assurance of entering the promised Canaan land. The faith of Jesus, as we read it there in Revelation, the faith of Jesus, which is kept by these people, is inseparable from the patience and the keeping of the commandments. Here is the patience of the saints, because they have the faith and they keep the faith of Jesus. They keep it under the most trying circumstances. Therefore, they have patience, and therefore they keep the commandments of God. It's a combined situation. Here are they, and are you enduring to be numbered among those? Let's return to Hebrews, where we read in verses 6 and 14, chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verses 6 and 14. Here it is. This is where we are concluding our meditation here. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if... That big little word. You are his house if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Then we are the household of God. In verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Steadfast, patiently, perseveringly. This is the assurance we have that we are able to enter the promised land. We can get it by the beauty of Christ's authorship of our directive, the authorship of our life. So let's embrace together. Embrace with me the words of his patience. Embrace them and hold on to them. And we conclude there in Hebrews 10, verses 35-39. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May this be our determination. Amen.